You are listening to a podcast from the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
Well, good morning, everyone. I told Boris this is sort of cruel and unusual punishment, I think, for a Russian event, but we're having a morning session with Boris Nemtsov today. I don't think Boris Nemtsov really needs much of an introduction to anyone in this room. He has been an active political figure on the liberal side of the spectrum for two decades. I think I've known him almost that long, if not quite. He was at one time a deputy prime minister in the government under President Yeltsin, and more recently he really has been working at attempting to lead a thoughtful and, I would say, real new thinking force about what does Russia do in the future, and how does a liberal democratic Russia evolve from the past 20 years, which has radically changed the country and in many ways brought to the fore a new generation of leadership. And no one's been more important in that than Boris Nemtsov. And so, Boris, I thought we'd kind of do a conversation this morning a little bit. And you're welcome to open it up if you want. But I would simply say you were here a few months ago, and maybe you could update us on what do you think has been going on since
summer,
your last
I was
year.
In summer, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, thank you, Jim, for so kind presentation. And I really represent Russian opposition, and I'm very proud about that. Well, I'm a member of Solidarity, which is the united, quite new united democratic opposition movement. Garry Kasparov is a member of our team. Vladimir Milov, who is co-author of our reports concerning Putin business in Russia and Lushkov business in Russia, is a member of our team. A lot of young guys are a member of Solidarity. We have 25 regional representatives, and this is very important for the current political situation in the country. Well, first of all, let me start from to describe what's happened. Let me start from so-called upcoming elections in Russia. In March 14, it will be elections in the more than 17 regions. I mean local election, regional election, all of the levels. And what is funny, that election even will be in my native town of Sochi. The future, once again, right? Like 1 year ago. Well, it will be election to the City Duma. This is very important because deputies will stay at their position up to the next Winter Olympic Games. Well, news from Putin, Russia. Electoral polls opened on Friday. Election will be in March 14, but polls open on Friday. And for more than 2 weeks, people will go and vote without any control, without any observation, without any campaign, etc. That's why real opposition refused to take part in this election in Sochi at all, nothing. And what we are looking for, we are looking for complete fraud. Complete fraud. Well, situation which we have completely repeat what's happened in the so-called election in the City Duma of Moscow. According to Levada Center, fraud was about 600,000 votes, about 600,000. Of course, censorship is like always, manipulation is like always, and a special demand from Kremlin how much the United Russia has to have, finally. Well, that's why I don't think that something new appeared as far as political infrastructure official political infrastructure is concerned. And Medvedev's speech about that freedom is better than non-freedom, and that he wants to democratize society, this is a way for modernization. This is only words. Business is absolutely in a different way. If we think about results of Medvedev presidency, it will be 2 years of his being in the office. Just two results. First is changing of the constitution. Two terms will be 12 years. And second, recognition of Ossetia and Abkhazia. That's it. If you look at the war with Georgia and recognition of Abkhazia. That's why you have to separate words, speeches, and concrete deals. What kind of changes happened after my last visit to Carnegie? The biggest news and very good news is increasing of protesting movement in the country, first of all in the regions. Well, the biggest anti-Putin demonstration happened in the end of January. It was in Kaliningrad. I took part in this meeting, and you can watch my speech on YouTube, which is quite famous in Russia now. There are a lot of rumors about why it's happened. The official propaganda said that this is Washington, D.C. Influence to Russian domestic affairs, and all of the money to organize this meeting come from the United States. I want to tell you very secret information about what is the cost of a meeting in Kaliningrad, because we were organizer. The cost was $1,000. It's a rent of a truck and a microphone. Truck plus microphone. This is $1,000. Well, of course, for Putin representative to organize the same meeting means millions of dollars because of corruption and because of special infrastructure like lunch, like some beer, like some entertainment before and after. That's why it's much expensive that we spend. Well, $1,000 for Kaliningrad meeting, we have such amount of money without American help. Well, and I want to tell you that meeting in Irkutsk concerning environmental problems in Baikal, cost looks the same. That's why this is not very expensive. Why Kaliningrad was the first protesting area in Russia? This is very important to understand what's happening in the future. There are combinations of two factors. First is regional, and second is national. Let me start from national. National problem is vertical of the power and appointment of Moscow guys like a governor. He's a governor of Kaliningrad. He has no any understanding what's happening in Kaliningrad region. He is a Moscovite. He was appointed by Putin. And people in the region are very disappointed about that because this person has no ideas about what's happening in the area. This is national. Second is crisis. Unemployment rate increase in the country, and I think that it's about a little bit less than 10%. But in the area of Kaliningrad, it looks more painful than in the city of Moscow, for example. Why? Because this is absolutely closed area. And when people lost their job, it's impossible to find something new. Because population is just 1 million, and around Kaliningrad, this is EU countries, people have no Schengen visa, and that's why. And to fly to Moscow, it's too expensive. That's why unemployment means disaster for a lot of people in Kaliningrad. Third point is corruption, which is national problem, but in Kaliningrad it's very visible. Not long ago, Boss decided to buy private jet, like Falcon. It's a personal jet. The price between 5 and 7 million. After that, he put flag of Kaliningrad on fuselage, but registered this jet in Cayman Island. And bikers, he's a biker, right? Bikers said that that's a great idea to register in Cayman Island and to avoid taxation. But why do you want to increase taxes for us? Well, and they first demand from bikers was let you register your small jet in Kaliningrad area and to pay taxes here in Russia. He refused. That's why the first demonstration happened in December. It was not very well known, but it was. But he didn't respond. The next happened in the end of January, and of course the world will recognize what's happened. Next point is inflation and growing of tariffs. This is a national problem. Communal tariffs increase everywhere in the country from 25 up to 30%. And this is very painful for everybody, first of all, for pensioners. Putin decided to increase pensions, but if you compare growing of tariffs and increasing of pensions, it looks like the same. That's why people don't feel that this is really improvement of their life. Well, that's why a combination of, as far as Kaliningrad specific points, Putin made huge mistake when he signed an agreement concerning Kaliningrad with EU. Kaliningrad people have no opportunity to get long-term visa. Just 1 year visa, that's it. For majority of the population, it's impossible to fly to Moscow because it's too expensive. And to get new visa is a problem because of bureaucratic, European bureaucratic problems. And this mistake was organized by his official representative, Mr. Rogozin, who is our representative in NATO now. And that's why active population of Kaliningrad has no chance to have business and to travel. Well, we have a real chance to organize Hong Kong, Russian Hong Kong in Europe, in Kaliningrad, but we didn't. Well, other regions. I mentioned Baikal and Irkutsk. It was environmental problem. First was pipeline, which Putin decided to build from Siberia to the Pacific, and he wanted to build it very close to Baikal. Fortunately, environmental people protested very much, and he refused to do it. And it was very important, because now there are a lot of accidents in this pipeline system, and a lot of oil disappear from pipeline. Problem of Baikal newsprint factory and is very serious. Putin made a decision to start once again operation in this factory. Because of chloride pollution, this is very dangerous for Baikal Lake, and that's why non-political people decided to organize meeting in Irkutsk. Before this meeting, it was special public pools, who is the biggest enemy of Siberia. This is very interesting investigation. An answer is, first place is Putin. He got 38%. Second is his friend Deripaska. Deripaska is about 25%. That's why, step by step, Russian people recognize who is responsible for everything in the country. If we are talking about main reason why protests will increase, I can tell you that people finally understand that there is a vertical. Putin is responsible for everything. And if you have a problem with, for example, kindergarten, this is Putin. If you have a problem with corruption for chief administration of the village, this is Putin. If you have a problem with police like gangster and bandits, this is Putin. Putin is responsible for everything. This is his policy, and this is the end. That's why. Nevertheless, what's happened in the region, who is responsible, the only slogan will be resignation of Mr. Putin. Well, what is my understanding? Now we know an answer, who is Mr. Putin? This is a famous question which was asked, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, while in Davos. Anders, in Davos? In Davos, I don't remember who asked. Now we know an answer. Putin is corruption. Putin is depopulation. Putin is commodities dependence of Russian economy. Putin is a deep crisis. Putin is a growing of bureaucracy. And the main goal of opposition, Russian opposition, is deputinization. Deputinization is what we have to do. Well, this is very, very important. How? First of all, to support protests in the regions, and secondly, is an explanation for Russian people who is Mr. Putin. That's why my friend Milov and me, we are under preparation of the new report, Putin et Togi, which will be ready in the end of April. And I believe that we publish Putin et Togi approximately 1 million or more copies. And we want to distribute it not among elite and among bureaucracy and internet. Internet is not enough for Russia, but among ordinary people on the streets and in the subway. The same thing I did with Lushkov, Itogi. It was a very successful story, even in the court. Even in the court with Lushkov and Baturina, well, which is great success from my point of view. Well, anyway, I think that to explain people what does it mean, Mr. Putin, will be very important for deputinization. Well, if we are talking about time schedule, and I finish. Well, I don't believe that this is short-term distance. I believe that this is marathon. I don't think that these guys are ready to retire because of corruption, because of billions of dollars in their accounts, because of safety reasons, etc. That's why this is marathon, but we understand that now trend is really changing. And we have to be in the center, and we have to support the processes, because deputinization means European Russia, which is my dream and dream of millions of Russian people who has mine. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Boris. I'd like to start with a couple of questions, and if you would, and taking what you've said as background. What should we make in terms of the significance of things like the recent action that Medvedev has taken vis-a-vis the Ministry of Interior?
Yeah.
And the whole sort of emergence of, I would say, putting the police in the spotlight. What should we make of the Jurgens paper, the one that has at least tried to sketch out a very different kind of Russia in the future? How do these fit into your sort of pattern here of, I would say, what you're describing is an emerging questioning of at least of Mr. Putin's administration of the way the thing is set up? How do you see these? What do you think they play as a role?
Well, let me start from Jurgens and Gantmacher report. I can tell you that this is very nice report. And I agree with, I can tell you, with majority of what they're talking about. That the future of Russia is democracy, that Russia, Russian future is European perspective, etc. That we need middle class competition, small and average business development, reduction of taxation, etc., reduction of bureaucracy. Everything is absolutely great, and I agree. But I don't think that all of these things will happen in the Dolce & Gabbana tandem. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Putin said that he has the same blood test like Medvedev. Medvedev repeated the same. I think that in this case, they say truth. they say truth. Yes, rhetorics a little bit differ, I agree. But it seems to me that this is a game, because if you look at the results, which I mentioned, just changing of the constitution plus recognition of Ossetia and Abkhazia, and that's it. Well, what is the difference between these two guys? Not in terms of blah, 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 but in terms of concrete deals. What's the difference? Well, of course we understand who is an architecture of this system. Of course, his name is Mr. Putin. That's clear. That's why our fighting with Putin means our fighting with this system. Medvedev doesn't play a huge role. On the other hand, as far as I understand, and this is a change with what we are talking 7 months ago, mm-hmm. Medvedev wants to be in Kremlin. He likes it. Well, and I feel it from some maybe small and not visible in Washington points. He likes to be the president of Russian Federation. This is in news. Well, but how? How to continue his career? Look, in the next year, it will be so-called Duma elections, right? Putin is a leader of the United Russia. And of course, he will take part in these elections. As you understand, he will get between 70 and 95%, right? It's very clear. After the end of the elections, of parliamentary election, Putin will say, guy, a few months later it will be presidential race. I just got 85%. Who will be the next? What's the response? Medvedev has nothing. Yes, he wanted to fire Nurmagomedov, you are right. This is your second question. Yeah. He wanted to fire, but Putin was against. Even after Yevsukov terrible case, you remember Yevsukov case. But Putin was against, like he is against to fire Lushkov. I know that Medvedev wants to fire Lushkov because of Baturina, because of corruption, because even after this my report. Mm-hmm. He wanted. But he has no responsibility and no enough political will and no enough power to do this. That's why I don't understand an instrument how this gentleman will be in the race of 2012. I don't understand. Well, the only way is even Putin say, I'm very tired, you know, I want to relax. I want, you know, to be with Berlusconi or whatever. Well, maybe this is the only way for Medvedev to continue. It's impossible to predict that these two guys will never find an agreement and will take part in the election together. I don't think that such kind of scenario will happen. Well, but Medvedev wanted to change something, you are right, including internal affairs, including some situation inside the army, some changes inside the army, etc. But this is decoration. This is not a changing of the system. Medvedev has no chance and no responsibility to fire ministers, to appoint governors without permission of Putin. For example, Belykh, who is a governor of Kirovskaya Oblast, right? He told me how he was appointed. First visit was to the White House. It was talks that forget about opposition, forget about your friend Nemtsov. We know everything about you, and if you will do something wrong, be careful, right? It was a talk with Putin. With Medvedev, it was a talk about economy, about regional development, etc. And decision has already made. Before this visit. This is like imitation of the power. You know, when Putin decided to appoint successor, he's thinking about 2 points. First, he has to be very weak. Secondly, he has to be very loyal. And he's from KGB. He looked very attentively at your eyes. Not only Mr. Bush, but even Putin looked very attentively at their eyes. And he looked for many, many years to the eyes of Medvedev. And he recognized he's weak and loyal. That's it.
Okay. All right. What I'd like to do now is have the audience here engage Boris. So can I have from the audience? Anne, could you get, we get the microphone? Could you identify yourself for the mic, too, please?
Hi, Don Jensen, Johns Hopkins University. Good to see you again. Thanks for your remarks. You talk about Russia's relationship with Ukraine since the recent election, what the Russians see it's going. There's a lot of discussion here that doesn't make that much different that Yanukovych is president. A very good article in the Washington Post yesterday, but I'm interested in your comments.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that it was a real, honest election in Ukraine. Of course, maybe not like honest like in the United Kingdom, but comparing with Russia, this is a great example of honest and transparent elections. And, well, this is just our dream, to have the same in election. That's why Yanukovych is the president, nevertheless, what Yulia is talking about. Well, second, he is very weak president. First of all, because he got even less than 50%. Secondly, because of Ukrainian constitution, which he has no chance to influence very much even on prime minister and economic and social policy. And his function means just foreign policy, maybe military policy, and some influence through his fraction inside Rada. Well, Yanukovych faced huge problems in Ukraine. First is very, very deep economic crisis, deeper than in Russia. I think that one of the deepest in the world. Well, second is corruption like in Russia. If you look at the what is similar, I can answer, corruption. According to Transparency International, we are at the same places, 146. 140 among Senegal, Sierra Leone, maybe Zimbabwe, Venezuela, great countries. Well, next point, huge opposition. Yulia, she's very strong, very charismatic, you know, very talented and very populistic, which is important if you are in the opposition. That's why I don't think that he has very wide opportunity to run quickly, etc. Relationship with Russia and EU. Well, he's very afraid about his pro-Russian image. That's why he decided to visit in Brussels, first of all, to show for Western Ukrainians and for Central Ukrainians from Kyiv that he is not pro-Putin. He's pro-Ukrainian. Frankly, he's really pro-Ukrainian. He's really pro-Ukrainian. Well, second point, problem. He wanted to change an agreement with Putin concerning gas supply. I think that this is a mistake. This is a real mistake because new scandal and new problems with gas means a problem, first of all, for Gazprom, but secondly, for Ukraine, too. And it gives Putin chance to build quicker South Stream. South Stream is absolutely stupid project, absolutely stupid. I explain you why. But if Yanukovych decided to cancel this treaty with Putin, it will be reasonable why he wanted to build. Well, next point is Black Fleet, Russian Black Fleet.
Black Sea Fleet.
Black Sea Fleet, yeah. According Ukrainian constitution, Ukraine has no chance to have foreign military bases after 2017. I don't know how to change constitution. Yes, he talked that he wants to prolong agreement with Russia, but what kind of legal things? how to take into account these constitutional points. I don't know. Corruption. It's very clear for me that very big financial and industrial Ukrainian groups finance him during campaign. Not only Renat Akhmetov, who is well known, the richest guy of Ukraine, but for example, Mr. Firtash, who was out of the game with Gazprom when it was a scandal with Rosugorenergo, for example. That's why these guys will press him very much to get money back. Campaign was very expensive. Well, perspectives for Russian business. I don't think that perspective for Russian business will be very, very good, because Ukrainian oligarchs don't want competition. Maybe with you they are not afraid, because you are thinking about rules of law, about anti-corruption acts, etc. But with Russians, who look like wolves, you know, they are very afraid. That's why I'm afraid that investment from Russian side to Ukrainian economy, it will be even much tougher problem than with Yushchenko. Well, what is good for Yanukovych? That people don't think that have no any romantic ideas about Yanukovych. After his, you know, two criminal cases, people don't care about his honest behavior, etc., which is good. Because if you have very romantic intention and understanding, your rating will drop down soon. The same thing happened with Yushchenko and with Obama. As far as Yanukovych is not Obama. Well, people have no ideas about his great things in his country. That's why he won, yes, but let's look what's happened. I don't think that he will do something good for Ukraine, but I don't think that he is worse than Yulia. Yulia, she is talented and she's great and she's very sexy, but problem is that she's populistic, and in crisis, to have Yulia in prime minister chair, this is a real problem. Anders know better than me. Ask him. Yeah, this is a real problem. That's why maybe he will sit still, do nothing, which is not bad for Ukrainian economy. Mm-hmm. Very liberal, very conservative perspective. Do nothing. Maybe people do something.
Okay. And Anders, I want.
Great to see you and hear you again, Boris. I would like to ask you about the Russian opposition. How do you look upon it? Which are the important groups? Which are good and bad? And which do you think have a potential in this situation? How would you structure it? Thank you.
Yeah. Good news is that in some regions we have absolutely unified opposition. For example, Kaliningrad, this is a great case. In the famous meeting in Kaliningrad, Solidarity, even Zhirinovsky, communists, and Yabloko were together. In Irkutsk, we had very similar situation, except Zhirinovsky. Zhirinovsky supported Putin's decision to start this factory, right? Nobody knows why, but it's happened. Well, in Arkhangelsk, we have coalition too. That's why if we are talking about protests, the only way is unification and some maybe tactic coalition. Of course, I don't want to be in one team with Stalinists. This is terrible. But as far as meeting is concerned, maybe this is not a bad idea. We have very strong discussion inside Solidarity about that. Well, and this is not so easy question for us. As far as democratic side is concerned, unfortunately, situation doesn't change. It's very split. Yabloko is very loyal to Putin and to even to Lushkov. Very loyal to Lushkov, and they are completely against any coalition, like always. Of course, this is the end of this party, but problem is that Yabloko is out of real opposition political trend. Out. Who is in? Solidarity, Kasyanov, Ryzhkov, who else from democratic side? Human rights organizations and young groups. That's it. We have good relationship and we can collaborate with each other without any problems. Left. What is interesting? For example, communists took part in Kaliningrad meeting. After that, leader of the Communist Party in Kaliningrad said that they don't want to be with Nemtsov at the same meeting. But they talk about that after a few weeks. All of them were invited to Kremlin. I mean Kaliningrad leaders. Not Zhuganov, but Kaliningrad leaders. To Kremlin. They had very hard talk in Kremlin. They explained that who are American spies, who are not. Where money come from, etc. You know better than me. Like an American spy, right? Well, that's why. Of course, I am the biggest, bigger than you. But I was South Korean spy when I took part in the election in Sochi. Well, now I'm fortunately, this country's spy. Anyway, of course, they pressed very much to the regional opposition, and Putin is really very much afraid. What's happened on the streets? Very much afraid. But a result why people are in the street is very clear for me. If there is no election in the country, if there is censorship, if there is no discussion in the country, what is the chance for people? Everything is closed. The only open way is the street. That's it. That's very easy. This is a result of his policy. Well, what's happened in the future? I believe that as far as street operations are concerned, we will be together. Elections don't exist. That's why this is not a questionable problem for us. But I think that such kind of tactic cooperation is a real opportunity for us, and we will do it.
David?
David Kramer, German Marshall Fund. Boris, thanks very much for this. A question coming back to what Jim asked you about the Jurgens Insur report. Regardless of whether Medvedev is in a position to carry out any of that, is the report something to be taken seriously? Is it more an act of desperation? Is it stirring up conversation? It certainly generated some very negative reaction from certain individuals. But what should we be making of this report?
I think that Medvedev is very afraid of this report. I don't think that Medvedev knew about this report and preparation. But I'm sure 100% that he will never promote an ideas of this report. Never. Because let come back. He said that when Putin canceled governor's election in 2004, do you remember that? After Beslan disaster, Medvedev not long ago said that governor's election will never happen in 100 years. This is a word not of Putin but Medvedev, 100 years. And when Jurgens and Gantmacher said that we need elections once again, including regional election, we need federalization, etc., we have to protect constitution. This is a real position of Jurgens and Gantmacher, which is great. But it doesn't change mind of Medvedev. First of all, because he is a blogger, mainly. He has no power. He's a blogger, not popular like me, but blogger. That's why how to run, how to promote an idea. And Medvedev's response on this report, you know, Jurgen said that a question was, do you believe that Medvedev wrote this report? Yes, he read something was good, something was not. What is this answer? What does it mean? Report is good. Problem is that these guys depend on Kremlin. They, you know, they got money from Kremlin. That's why, to be honest, 100%, it's very difficult if you are in Kremlin. How to be honest? They have to say that this team will never come back to democracy. This team is just about money, about business, about Gazprom, about aggressive foreign policy. How they will never write such kind of thing because nobody pays for that. Maybe me, but I have no such amount of money. That's why, you know, they're in a very controversial situation. They write absolutely right things, but without instrument.
Okay. John? Just a second to get the mic.
John Evans, I used to be Consul General in St. Petersburg when both Mr. Putin and Mr. Medvedev were there, and I think you've very accurately portrayed the relationship, which will never change. I mean, Medvedev was always the creature of Mr. Putin, and his, I don't want to use any derogatory term, but definitely his man. But I wanted to ask a different question, and that is about the troubles in the North Caucasus. You very briefly mentioned Abkhazia and South Ossetia and Beslan, but we see that in today there are problems in Dagestan, and I just wondered if you had anything to add about that.
That's a real very important question for the unity of Russia. Russian authorities don't control this area. Russian constitution or Russian laws are out of this area. Putin made his choice. His basic position is corrupted leaders who strongly depend on himself, right? And this is a contract. I give you money and you can steal this money, but you have to be loyal. This contract doesn't work. Because, first of all, there are a lot of problems in economy, decline of economy, etc. Secondly, because corrupted leaders need more and more money. If you look at the situation, Kremlin spent more than $6 billion like a dotation to this area, but this is not enough. Dagestan, which you mentioned, is absolutely dependent area from Kremlin. 90% of budget money come from Kremlin. Well, but people are very much disappointed about corruption inside, and people believe in Wahhabism and in after recognition of Ossetia. And the main, what is very important, if you look at statistics, an amount of terroristic act in the North Caucasus increase immediately after Russian-Georgian war. I think that one of the main reasons why it's happened is recognition of Ossetia and Abkhazia. One of the main reasons. Because separatists inside Russia, they believe that if Putin and Medvedev gave recognition to these areas, why they don't want to give us the same? That's why it was a very important sign for disintegration. This is not only a problem of a Russian-Georgian relationship, but this is a problem of the unity of Russian Federation. Of course, this is absolutely out of discussion, such kind of conception, but I believe that this signal is very visible for people who want to be independent from Russia inside. Well, what next? He decided to appoint Khloponin and to organize a new district, right? Khloponin is a smart man. I know him very well for many years. And he ran in a good way Krasnoyarsky Krai. But this is not about money and about business. This is real. Russia needs to change policy in Caucasus. I don't think that Khlopunin is responsible to change. His main goal is to attract investment. But how to attract if every day people disappeared? Every day. And every day terroristic acts happen. How to attract investment to this area? How to promote tourism, like he said? You know, how to start some new businesses? Who is ready from this country to come to North Caucasus to invest money? Well, this is rhetoric questions. That's why I think that Putin policy in Caucasus failed 100%. And situation even is much worse than the beginning of his career. And I don't think that Khlopunin will improve it. I don't think so. You know, if in so-called elections, the United Russia got more than 100% of votes, do you know that? The world record, Guinness record, the United Russia got in Ingushetia 109%. And the same result repeated in Chechnya, right? And one guy, my friend, asked Kadyrov, can you explain me how it's happened? His answer was great. Sit in Moscow. In Moscow, everything is less than 100%. In our area, everything is more than 100%. We have our own calculations. Don't touch us. That's it. Well, of course, people, they have no ideas how to connect with this power.
Yes, Tony.
Molly O'Neill from Johns Hopkins. I had a question. I wanted to ask you if you could comment at all on the ongoing Khodorkovsky matter. It's not been, I don't think, as prominent in the news lately, but I just wondered if you know, there's any significance to the fact that he appears to have become, to some extent, a public figure, you know, as far as the opposition is concerned, with numerous, you know, interesting interviews and things of that nature that get at least some kind of public exposure. So I was wondering, you know, what do you think is the significance of all this, and is there any possibility of any outcome other than the one that everyone has been predicting, which is life in prison?
Well, let me add a footnote. Oh. The International Court in The Hague,
in Strasbourg,
now is going to take up this case. What do you see as implications of that, if any?
Jim, I think that Strasbourg is a very serious story for Putin. Really very serious story. Because if Strasbourg will make honest and legal decision, I hope that it will be, it means that what's happened with Khodorkovsky means manipulation, fraud, corruption, and political motivated case. That's why finally, you know, Putin will pay and explain that Khodorkovsky was not responsible for all of the cases which were under investigation in 2003. As far as current situation is concerned, this is farce. Farce means that the symbol of Putinism is Khodorkovsky is in the prison. This is a symbol. If Khodorkovsky is free, Putin is over. This is like symbol. It's very easy to check. Well, second, why he behaves in such a way, I mean Putin. This is not, of course, out of legal discussion. This is, of course, political case. It's easier, right? Why he behaves in such a way? My answer is that he's very weak, he's very afraid of Khodorkovsky, and he's very afraid of his own life. That's why, this is the reason why Khodorkovsky is still in the prison. Well, next year, in October 25, Khodorkovsky have to be free. This is the end of 8 years in the prison. That's why they accelerated new case against him. That's why. They want to put him, I don't know, forever or not, but to put him and to keep him in the prison, which is a very sad story. This is a real tragedy. As far as public opinion concerning Khodorkovsky, public opinion changed. Because at the beginning, everybody believed that he's oligarch, he's Jewish, he's terrible guy, he, you know, drank our blood, etc. Well, but now public opinion changed in more soft way, but not in the way that people are ready to go to the streets and to come, Khodorkovsky, you have to be free, and Putin has to be in the prison. No, such kind of demonstrations, I'm not sure, never happen in the near future. Well, Russia is a very conservative country, and Russia sometimes didn't respond on such kind of tragedy like Beslan, not only Khodorkovsky. And of course, Kremlin used it in his own purpose. Well, Khodorkovsky like a political figure. Yes, he is. But I don't think that he is a single and everybody is ready to look at him like a united leader. I don't think so. If you ask Javlinsky, for example, do you believe that Khodorkovsky is your leader? I'm not sure that he will answer yes. Well, that's why, yes, he's one of the leaders, I can tell you. And he's very strong leader and a tragic leader, and if he will be free, maybe in the future, he will play bigger role. But to be a leader and to sit in the prison and to be even former oligarch is not good background, right?
Okay. Toby.
Thank you. Toby Ghani. Boris, talk a little bit about people in power. The way they're coping with an economic crisis. We've seen the development of a kind of alternative theory, which now has the slogans of modernization and innovation, which sounds very familiar to those of us who...
Yeah, I know that, Toby, you like these words, yeah.
Yes, I love those words. It's like the scientific technological revolution. I remember that, too. Speak about whether this is a recognition that the present system isn't working, and what do you think are the role of Western technology and innovation? And finally, how did this become a Surkov project?
Well, I agree that Russia needs modernization and innovation. I believe that everybody in my country agrees with this absolutely clear point. But I can tell you that it's 100% impossible to organize modernization and innovation with Putin and Medvedev. It's impossible. Why? First of all, Putin is thinking just about oil and gas export. Look at his very concrete decisions. For example, oil companies like Rosneft didn't pay taxes for Eastern Siberian oil field. Do you know that? Zero. This is innovation, modernization, what is it? Gazprom pay 5 times less taxes than Lukoil in Texas. 5 times less. What is it? Innovation, modernization. His main project is a pipeline to Pacific and 2 pipelines, North Stream and South Stream. What about innovation and modernization? That's why this guy is thinking just about commodities and export. That's it. And his main slogan in the past was, Russia is a great energy empire. It was true, for his point of view. Medvedev, I explain you, blogger. Well, what should be done? They destroy infrastructure of the state. I don't know how to attract innovation and how to attract investment in high tech if there is no real and honest and independent court system, if there is no property rights, if there is just Petersky and Chekisky and Kovalchuky and Timchenki and Abramovichi and Deripaski. I don't know how to explain you or guys from MIT and some other institutions. Come to Russia. Raise business. Taxes, they decided to increase. You know, court is basmati. You know, business is orientated in just oil and gas sector. I don't know how to organize all of that. Yes, Chubais maybe can do some few projects because he has a lot of state money now and he wants to prove that he's at the good position and in the right place, etc. Yes, he can, but to change the country and trend, I don't think so. And look at the statistics. When Putin started his career, about 45% of Russian export was oil, gas, and commodities. Now it's about 70. It's about 70. Russia is a competitive country only in the energy market. This is a result of these 10 years of the presidency and his sitting in the office. That's why these guys will never change. And what is important is Surkov interview in Vedomosti. Do you know, Toby? Surkov interview. Yes, in this area everybody knows Surkov interview. Well, Surkov said that authoritarian modernization is what we need. Well, I can tell you, and Andrei Larionov is here, he will agree with me, I'm sure. Russia is not China. You know, China has a real very low level of taxation. China has very cheap labor cost, first of all, from the western side of the country and from villages. And Russia has a little bit different face than Chinese. I mean, cultural points and religion points, etc. That's why to repeat Chinese success in Putin Russia, this is absolutely impossible. You know, huge taxes, you know, corrupted power, absence of court system, absence of police services, problem with security. I don't know how to run it. That's why a goal is great. Mechanism does not exist. We just have organized. Mainly point for us is to change a basis of Putinism. Because basis of Putinism is shit. Corruption and dictatorship of law. That's why to change basis, first point. Second is to promote modernization. David, once again.
David, yeah.
What is funny that David knows not only questions but answers.
Hardly.
But we like to validate it.
Anyway, Boris. The relationship, the interconnection between domestic and foreign policies, and specifically relations with the U.S. If the situation in the street does scare Putin and Medvedev, if the opposition gets some traction, what impact does that have on their interest in improving relations with the West and specifically the United States? The post-START agreement hasn't yet been signed. There are some people now saying, speculating, maybe it won't get signed. Missile defense and other issues.
Yeah.
Iran sanctions, Putin made, Medvedev, sorry, made some comments in Paris yesterday, today, that show some willingness, but Putin hasn't said the same thing. So where do you see the relationship going and the impact on the domestic situation on that? Thank you.
Well, this is a very important question. I think that there is very strong connection between domestic and foreign policy in Russia, not only in Russia, in this country too. Well, my understanding is that Russia faced huge problems. And to explain why everything is going in the wrong direction, the easiest way is to say that this is because of Washingtonsky Abkom, right? That's why to implement an idea that this is American influence and America doesn't want to have strong Russia, modernized Russia, you know, powerful Russia, etc., it's very easy. And 10 years of propaganda machine did strong job. I want to tell you one. I have an idea for you. Watch Putin TV for 2 weeks. Don't watch CNN, ABC, Bloomberg, nothing. Just Putin TV, 2 weeks. After that, we'll meet once again to talk. I'm afraid that your eyes will change. Not your soul, eyes. Well, that's why, and Russian people watch Putin TV not for 2 weeks, but for more than 10 years. That's why even my kids, sometimes, my son, for example, he's 14, he asked me, Papa, maybe real American want to destroy Russia? He asked me this question. My son, listen. Well, I ask, why do you think so? Because one journalist said that that's because of American help, North Caucasus terrorists destroy our system in this area, etc. And do you know that real Putin propaganda said that a growing of terrorism in the North Caucasus happened because of American help? This is absolutely open, everyday news. And no response from your side. You just talking about reset, as far as I remember. You're talking about reset, and he's talking about American help to North Caucasus terrorists. That's it. Well, as far as new treaty is concerned, well, first of all, there is no open discussion in the country at all about the subject. It's forbidden. For example, I was a physicist when I was a young boy. I was a physicist, and I was in the Soviet Star Wars program. Well, that's why I very much like Mr. Reagan, who helped me to raise a lot of money when I was very young. Well, and what is funny that people even don't understand that Romanian, your missiles in Romania didn't touch Russia, never, because, you know, the only opportunity for Russian missiles to destroy America is to fly through the North Pole. But such kind of explanation about North Pole, etc., it's completely forbidden. This is a big secret for Putin propaganda. Everybody believes that Romanian bases missiles will destroy Russians. That's terrible, you know? People have no ideas about that. That's why they say America want to occupy Russia, establish special bases around. This is a game, of course. This is anti-American feeling, which helps Putin to continue his power and his popularity. This is a very important part of his popularity. Last news, terrible news, is military doctrine. That's terrible. That's really terrible. Our biggest enemy is NATO. China is our friend. First of all, this is a lie, 100%. Secondly, this is a dangerous lie, because we have a problem in the South, not only with China, but with some Islamic countries, etc. But he even didn't mention that. What does it mean? It means that he built army in the way against the West once again. Why? Because it helps him to be more popular. You know, he's a Soviet-style man. He continues Soviet Cold War ideas, like some people here. Well, but he continued in a more terrible way, using machine, propaganda machine. And this is very bad news. Medvedev. I don't think that Medvedev has his independent game in this relationship. I don't think so. Of course, for Medvedev to be more powerful in the eyes of the international community, the best way for him is to sign this treaty. But he's afraid. Because if he, and Putin said that if he will sign without problem of anti-ballistic missile system, ratification in the State Duma will never happen. For Medvedev, it will be the end, right? And he's very afraid to promote that. Well, anyway, I think that you have to talk once again about this absolutely Goebbels propaganda machine. You have to talk about that. Because, of course, when Obama visited Russia, nobody on Putin TV, even some journalists like Leontief and Pushkov, they even didn't appear, which is good news. Bad news is that Obama is here now. And Pushkov and Leontief and Pavlovsky are still in Moscow. That's why you have to connect and to explain the guys. If you want to organize real reset, do something.
Can I just push you a little more?
Sorry, I don't mean to dominate, but when you were last here, as I remember, you were talking about trying to boost Medvedev, but now you're saying Medvedev is a blogger. Should we be boosting a blogger?
You know, 7 months is a lot of time for Russia. Plenty of time. Well, what is his choice? The only way for him was to resign Putin and to take power. But he lost this opportunity. I don't think that he has this opportunity now. Nothing. That's why he likes internet, which is not bad. Well, he always is on internet, which is not bad, but he's the president. This is a problem.
And then we'll come to you.
I'm Peter Kimmel from the National Intelligence Council. Sir, Chairman Wooden once famously said that we wanted the best, but it turned out as usual. How is that, doesn't that in some way apply to the Russian opposition? Over the years, they've wanted to unify, they've wanted to get together, they've wanted to have an influence on Vlast, but ultimately, they really don't achieve very much. How is that going to be different now in the next few years, particularly when they really don't have a horse to ride? They don't have the media, they don't have, the public opinion polls still strongly show that there's high support for the Kremlin and for Putin and for Medvedev. Erosion certainly since the economic crisis, but not strong. The machine of the party of power has only become stronger, it seems like. So what's going to be different this time? Or is it perhaps maybe that the system itself is going to evolve again, and it's really not going to be the opposition that drives change in Russia?
Yeah. First of all, this is very tricky thing, public opinion in an authoritarian country. Everything depends on the first, second channel and NTV. If, for example, it will be debate between Putin and me concerning his relationship with Deripaska, Abramovich, his business in Gazprom, etc., I believe that public opinion will change in a few days. That's why to pay serious attention on public opinion means do not understand what's happened in our country. If Putin TV showed that Americans are our friends and America has huge opportunity for technology, for investment, etc., and to give us a chance to raise our economy, etc., I believe that the relationship between two countries and the opinion of the people will change very soon. That's why propaganda machine works very much. It's the first point. Second, opposition. I think that the last events showed that we have a chance not for unification in a strategical point of view, but in tactical point of view. And this is very good. What I'm talking about is our coalition as far as anti-Putin meeting is concerned, etc. I think that trend of 2010 will be just in this way. I don't know what's happened in 2011, but in this year, this is a real mainstream. Next point, how to operate without TV? This is the most serious question for opposition in every authoritarian country in the world, including Russia. My understanding is that the only way is a combination of internet and printing materials like modern samizdat. Let me tell you about, for example, this report, I mean, Lushkov et Togi. This report was published in 300,000 copies, and this report was distributed in the subways of the city of Moscow. And after that, Levada Center investigated what about Lushkov, is he corrupted or not, what about his billionaire wife, etc. What is interesting, that about 73% of Moscovites said that Lushkov is corrupted. When it was discussion in the court between me and Lushkov lawyers, Lushkov lawyers said that Nemtsov destroyed image of Lushkov printing this material. That's why majority of Moscovites believe that he is corrupted. This is great achievement. That's why combination of internet and this book, this modern samizdat, that's what is quite efficient, and that's what we want to do in the future, not about Lushkov, but about Putin. Of course, you know, Moscow is a big city, but Russia is bigger. That's why to explain Russians in Kamchatka, for example, who is Mr. Putin, it's not so easy. But what is our choice? We have no choice. Well, I think that maybe some other instruments will be discovered in the future. I don't know. But now, what we want to do is to explain people using internet plus samizdat. As far as internet is free, fortunately. Not all of the internet, but I can tell you some not very popular websites. Putin controls just the most powerful websites like Yandex, like Mail.ru and Rambler. These three cover about 75% of internet market, which is huge. But the rest is free. This is very important. This is very important. I tried to use Mail.ru one time and Yandex, but this is completely closed. They don't own this website, but owners know that if something wrong happens and some information will appear, it will be a problem for them. That's why they're very cautious about that. Anyway, situation is better than in China. I mean, internet is better than in China, because China is completely closed, which is good. Regional situation, as far as media is concerned, which is important. We have some independent channels in the regions, which is a very unique situation. This is Russia. For example, in Vladimir, we have TV6. This is independent. In Kostroma, one channel, and Ivanovo, one channel. Even in my native town of Nizhny Novgorod, we have one, not 100%, but quite free. And in some Siberian regions. That's what we have to use. I don't think that we need unification now, like a strategy. I don't think. Just coalition for very concrete tactic, anti-Putin campaign.
Hi, I'm Erica from Voice of America Russian Service, and we tried to be on Yandex too. No success so far. But my question to you is, what's your base in Russia? How can you describe your followers, your supporters? Are these mostly urban or rural population, older or younger? And how about the role that younger supporters play in your movement in supporting you? And how fast is your support base growing?
Well, first of all, it's big cities, well-educated people. Fortunately, a lot of young. I explain you one. Young is interested. Young people throughout the world are not interested in politics at all. But Russia, it seems to me, looks like exemption. Why? Because young people face huge job problems. Huge. Unemployment among young people in Moscow, it's about 30%. Young people, I was sure that young people looked more liberal and more democratic than me, for example. My oldest daughter showed me that that's not right, not only my daughter, but her generation. But because they're more cynical, they're thinking about money, they're thinking about career, about success, and they don't think about freedom, about, you know, competition, about the rest. But now they face a lot of very personal problems, jobs. And they understand that a lot of things depends on Putin and his friends, oligarchs, etc. That's why step by step they will recognize that if you are not involved in politics, politics change your life in the wrong direction.
Okay, Andre.
Добрый день, Борис.
Привет.
May I ask you one question? Successfully almost destroy reputation of Mr. Lushkov.
Excuse me, what? From Lushkov.
Almost completely destroy reputation of Mr. Lushkov. You almost forced Mr. Medvedev to change mayor of Moscow. Just one more push and it will happen. And just let's assume that you will make this push with your friends and Mr. Medvedev will change mayor of Moscow and will appoint Mr. Sergei Ivanov or somebody else from Siloviki Group. Will be you personally satisfied with this result? Do you have any guarantees that it won't happen?
Okay. I will be completely satisfied. I explain you why. Lushkov is a symbol of corruption in the country. Symbol of corruption. His wife became billionaire when she started her construction and development business in the city of Moscow. Just one last example. Do you know Rabochaya Kolkhoznitsa sculpture? This is like
Statue of Liberty
in New York City, right? We have Rabochaya Kolkhoznitsa from Stalin time. In the end of 2008, in New Year Day, in the 31st of December of 2008, Lushkov proclaimed a tender for renovation of this famous statue. Who took part? Do you know? Just one person, his wife. A start cost for renovation was $80 million. The start. Because for renovation, $80 million from the budget of Moscow, right? Months later, Lushkov signed contract with her wife for $100 million. Let's imagine that Bloomberg wife decided to renovate Liberty Statue. How many days Bloomberg will be in the New York City streets? How many days? Can you answer? Lushkov is a symbol of Putin corruption. That's why to fire Lushkov and to do everything to start investigation against him means to start real anti-corruption campaign in Russia. Second, Sergei Ivanov. Of course, I understand that Sergei Ivanov, who is Sergei Ivanov? Nothing, right? But I know a story about his son, disaster story. We know about that. But I think that if somebody will be fired because of corruption, this is very good and very successful story. Of course, my goal not only to fire him, but to start investigation and finally court decision to get. That's what we need to fight corruption in the country. That's why I will continue this story, but I don't want to concentrate my attention only on Lushkov. That's why, Andrei, next month we will give you a chance to read our new report about Putin Itogi, number two. Well, of course, we understand who is a symbol of the system, but to fight against the heart of corruption, I think that this is a good idea.
All right, Boris, I'll do one more question to you, and it's one that's been troubling me for a long time, partly because of the very the very term opposition. I understand people oppose the current government, and opposition has always been a sort of respected category. But if you're a voter in Russia or you're a normal citizen, you know, the choice that you're being presented, it seems to me, is between what's there and somebody who's against it. You're not really being given a choice of what's there or something else. That is an alternative, usually. And in that sense, I'm just curious. I mean, you say the opposition is united tactically but not strategically. I can understand how it's difficult for you and the communists to see eye to eye. But the question, if you're a Russian in, let's say, Chelyabinsk, is I've got Putin and, you know, my governor and the crowd now. It isn't great, but I know what I've got, and I sort of know how to run the system. People are just telling me to get rid of it, but I don't know what they're suggesting they want to put in its place. Who, what kind of a future is the alternative? And I think it brings back to, you know, the questions about the INSOR report and so forth. I just sense in looking at things that there is a debate going on now about, you know, alternative ideas about the future. But it's difficult to see that it has real political expression. In other words, that people really represent one group or the other, and people are going to have the choice. And so I'd just like you to talk a little bit about what is it that is the alternative that you're saying to the Russian people is their choice?
Yeah.
Rather than not just not Putinism, but what is it that would happen to them? If there were, said, let's say tomorrow, Boris Nemtsov ended up in the Kremlin with all powers. You know what?
Not bad.
Okay.
Yeah. Not
but
bad.
But the people, I'm not sure understand. Right? Other than that, Boris Nemtsov is a very fine young
Jim,
man.
Jim, I understand your question. Well, Jim asked me a question about national idea. Well, my answer is that I'm for European Russia. Russia is a European country. And this is very understandable for a lot of Russian people. Of course, I don't like some socialistические Sweden and some others. Well, but national idea has to be understandable, clear, and attractive. I think that Russia is a European country, is a great and very attractive point. Of course, to explain what does it mean. Rules of law, very efficient healthcare system, small average business development, limited taxation, etc. We have to explain. And of course, there are a lot of differences between, for example, me like liberal and social democrats, which is not bad. European Russia. What is Putin? I answered corruption. And what we need really is canceling of censorship. I say that the most key point in our fighting is censorship. I don't want to be representative of all of the opposition. I am not. I'm just a part, small. But canceling censorship is what we need. And let's another groups will explain what they want to do. I will be talk about European Russia and explain what does it mean, and they have to talk about what they want. You know, the authoritarian regime always said that there is no alternative. Why? Because they blocked everybody. Blocked. Hulliver and penguins. That's it. But if canceling of censorship will happen, I believe that it will be a choice for everybody.
Okay. All right. Well, let me thank you, Boris, for,
thank
as
you
always,
very much.
An interesting discussion and a good chance to get your views again. Thanks for
Thanks
coming.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.